We often talk about advice for young men, how you can better yourself, how you can improve your station in life, how you can feel better in yourself. And there are lots of other places that like to do that as well. And results can be very hit and miss. You know, for every one of us, there's an Andrew Tate out there. Not saying that our advice is always perfect or even always accurate. No, we're human. We can get things wrong. But we like to try our best. And there are people out there who are far more grifty in the way that they try and do it. And there are also places out there who are just kind of bad at it, even despite their stated goals. I'll get into this a bit more, but first, we do have a recent article that I wrote on the website about individual and collectivism, analysing the two of them and saying that it's not really much of a... It doesn't really fit reality to try and say that you're one or the other. As far as I'm concerned, obviously you can be more individualist in a sense or more collectivist, but I do think the actual way to go about your life is to understand that boxing yourself off into terms like that isn't really going to do anything, especially when, you know, the individual can't exist without society, society can't exist without the individual. People can say, oh, the individual can go out and live in the woods if you want. Yeah, but you're going to drive yourself crazy doing that. Ted Kaczynski did that. And his lifestyle is not one that I want to emulate.
I want to go and live in the woods, and I find that offensive.
Yeah, but do you want to do it completely by yourself on your own with no support or outside contact?
Absolutely.
Oh, all right. Fair play. Josh is the one exception to all of this.
All technology past 10,000 BC was a mistake.
Well, I agree with you there. He says that into the microphone, being recorded on the camera.
Going to the internet.
Yes, going to the internet. But I thought this was an interesting subject, and I think I explained myself pretty well here, and it is a premium article, so you have to be subscribed to the website. If you've got a silver membership, you can get the audio track from John Crow, who is excellent, as usual. So please check that out. But you might remember this from the most recent segment we've done just before this, the Good Men Project, or as I refer to it, the Beta Male Project, because they are one of those websites that wants to try and give men good advice on how to be the best man that you can be, how to embrace your masculinity in a positive way so that you're not a detriment to those around you, so that you're not a violent thug, so that you're not some wimpy baby. Except it turns out that most of the advice that you'll get on here is to be a wimpy baby, sadly. But it doesn't seem like they have bad intentions from the off. And it also seems like one of those, what would the term be? Not like a, kind of like a conglomerate of a bunch of different articles. They take articles from here, there, and everywhere from different publications and put them on here, credit the author. I don't know what agreements they have with those places, but it seems like not every, and it also seems like a website where you can just kind of sign up to write for them and maybe just write something. So it might be a place for a lot of people to start out. But so the Good Men Project, they describe themselves as being a glimpse of what enlightened masculinity might look like in the 21st century, is what the press raved when they launched. And we had to set out an international conversation about what it means to be a good man in the 21st century. Already, you can see that this is suggesting that it's not going to be great advice, because being a good man is not something that I consider to be specific, like you have to change your behavior to fit a particular era. Being a good man is something that's pretty constant, just the same as being a good woman is something that's
pretty
constant.
There are virtues that have remained just as important for thousands of years. To suggest that it's just in the 21st century, you've got to have a different approach.
Well, you've got to just abandon all of the received wisdom, abandon tradition, abandon thousands of years of trial and error telling you, okay, here's what you should do, because we know from experience, literally thousands of years of experience, and we go, nah, I know better. That's what I do. I know better. So it was founded in 2009, Tom Matlock. He set out to collect stories about defining moments in men's lives. And like I say, this is where I looked at it and was like, okay, as much as this could be just a complete meme website, it seems to have good intentions, at the very least. I don't think there's insincerity coming from this. It's just sad that there is a lot of intersectionalism that gets injected into it. What he discovered was that the connected idea between all the stories of the men that Tom talked to was there was a moment when each man woke up, looked in the mirror and said, I thought I knew what it meant to be a man. I thought I knew what it meant to be good. And I realized that I didn't know, that I don't know either. So, well, this is something that we all struggle with, isn't it, really? You know, it can be difficult to find your place in life. It can be difficult to know how best to behave in certain situations, you know. So this is something we struggle. Having articles, having a place where you can go and find articles telling you good advice is very useful for some people. But then, our content reflects the multidimensionality of men. We are alternately funny and serious, productive and thoughtful, earnest and lighthearted. Yes, we are, in fact, human beings. This is true. Feminists might want to learn about that. We search far and wide for new stories and new verses from the front lines of modern manhood. And we do it without moralizing, lie, and without caricaturizing, lie, our audience. We let guys be guys, and we do it while challenging the cultural the confining cultural notions of what a real man must be. So once again, I have concerns, but maybe it will be useful and interesting. And, you know, and there are some actually decent articles on here. Shockingly enough, this one, The Least Attractive Type of Man, written by a woman. Interestingly enough. I know, right? Who says interesting things in here that I was not expecting to find on this website, saying men should have the capacity to be dangerous, which is just a complete Petersonian line right there. That's the, you know, you need to be dangerous but under control. That's what women find attractive. And it's interesting, once again, that it's a woman writing this, because a woman would know what women find attractive about men. And then there's a reason why the phrase grow some balls exists. Yeah, that's right. If it meant stand for something, have courage and integrity, say what you mean and mean what you say, work for what you want, stand up for what you believe, even if you're standing alone. This was the mark of masculinity. So that's actually decent. Yeah. That's actually decent. So like I say, this website is not something to be entirely just thrown aside. And there are also other articles giving genuinely good advice and recommendations and looking at proper issues like drug abuse and depression among men. But then you get to the really bad articles. The one that we really wanted to look, that really earns this this website the name Beta Male Project. For instance, 20 examples of cis sexism we've probably all committed at some point.
Wow, that's some really highbrow journalism. BuzzFeed wants their format back.
And would you be surprised that the article is originally from Everyday Feminism?
No way. Feminists have something to say about how to be a man? I've never heard that before.
I know, they're the sorts of people I'd want to take advice from. And in fact, this author, James St. James, would you be shocked if I told you he wasn't born a man?
No way.
I know, right?
Who'd have thought?
Woman cosplaying tells me what I'm best, how I best behave.
So right, you're so bad at being a man, you became a woman, and you're now giving people advice.
All the way around.
Oh, right.
No, she thought she was so good at being a man that she just got the surgery to do it.
Oh, right.
And then wrote an article about cis sexism, which kind of undermines your original thought of being a man. Because men don't care about these sorts of things, or at least proper men don't care about these things. And just to clarify the term, this person, James St. James, says here, cis sexism is pretty much unchecked cis privilege or an otherwise shoddy awareness of the social monopoly on binary gender.
How many buzzwords do you want in your sentence?
I think I went cross-eyed reading that. What? It just means things you don't like. All right, things you don't like. All right, number one, and this will be fun for you, being a scientist, because it's just completely BTFOing one of our previous contemplations, believing that XX and XY actually mean something.
What, you mean biology?
Yes.
You mean the thing that dictates sex differences in pretty much all mammals?
Yeah, but don't you understand that the whole point...
Humans are different.
Transgenderism arising comes about because of biological differences anyway, bro, so then XY doesn't mean anything.
Well, it's the easiest way of determining whether someone who's intersex is male or female, so it's not meaningless.
No, science BTFO'd. Okay, let's carry on to point two. Thinking that citing biology will actually shut down an argument on non-binary gender issues, I mean...
Well, to be fair...
This is a good point, because they never do... Just ignore these people instead, because these people won't shut up. Just ignore them, say they're crazy, and walk away. There you go. Number six, never... never wondering why tampons aren't in men's restrooms.
Oh,
I wonder why...
I failed as a man for never wondering why they're not in there.
I'm sorry, the main thing is I know exactly why, because even if you did think, oh, you know, maybe if a man's got a woman with him and he's just trying to be nice, it could be useful for them. No, men would piss about with tampons if left in the restrooms.
To be fair, they're pretty good. You know, the long kind of cotton wool ones. If you've got like a bloody nose, if you've been in a fight like a real man, you can stick it in your nostril and stop the bleeding.
They're good for that, but I'm sorry. I know exactly what would happen. Me and the lads, you know, we'd be out on a Saturday night, go into the restroom, someone would take a while and come out arse first. And you know what you'd be doing with that sample. I'm just killing Josh right now. And then number 16, another funny one, being automatically pegged as a sex worker by police just because you were walking down the street. Not common, you say? You live a charge. No, I just don't dress like a whore. This says far more about you and your dress sense than it does the police.
Getting pegged by the police, eh?
Oh my goodness. Automatically pegged. Oh my goodness. I feel like there's some Freudian slips going on in this article. That's telling me something. So that was that one. And then there's some more that aren't amazing either, like this next one called All Black People Deserve to Thrive in a World Free from Patriarchal Violence. And given certain statistics in the black communities in America and other places, I would say patriarchal violence is not something that many have to worry about. You would need a patriarch.
Mm.
I did write in my notes, don't make the joke, don't make the joke, don't make the joke. But I did anyway. I did anyway. And this one is literally, it's just like five, it's from the Movement for Black Lives. Scroll down and we can see there's no even point reading this. It just says, what is patriarchal violence? It's when men do bad things. Here's how we can end patriarchal violence together.
Arrest all men before they can do anything.
That's what it's leading up to. But scroll down just a bit, because John, literally, it's just 3 points and then a paragraph, and that's the article. There you go.
Great.
Patriarchal violence solved it.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
Don't even need 1,000 words.
That's right. I used my own patriarchal violence to beat patriarchal violence itself. This is how men can truly be useful. Then there's the one that Josh sent me, because I will make a confession that Josh started posting articles from this and I stole it from him.
Yeah, I was going to do this exact segment, but Harry stole it from me.
I got there first, you snooze, you lose, bro. This one, which Josh said I needed to do, was Magination is like a psychology textbook in human form. I don't...
Projection. Actually... To the nth degree.
Reading that title again, I don't think that actually means anything. No. Because Magination is like a psychology textbook. What does that mean?
It's not even grammatically correct in the title.
That's not as if you could just walk up to someone in a MAGA hat...
Semantically correct, even.
And they'll just be able to read out the DSM 500 to you just off the top of their head.
I am a textbook. I just know all the mental health conditions. Yeah. Like liberalism is one, for example.
Exactly. I mean, to be fair, once again, we can check the statistics. Liberals seem to have all the mental conditions.
That is true, yeah.
And they self-admit it. And if you check on Twitter, they will happily put it in their bios, because they think it's a mark of pride until you start to insult them about it or use it as an explanation for their personal deficiencies.
You want about them putting their pronouns in their bio or just them listing their mental illnesses? Well, because both could be construed as putting their mental illnesses.
It's all under the same umbrella, isn't it, really? So, from voter fraud to paedophilia to playing victim, right-wingers accuse others of things that better describe themselves. This is just
the projection. This came out on my birthday as well.
Happy birthday!
Yeah, this is the present I always wanted.
And now you're getting it again for Christmas.
Yay.
Yay. So this is just a terrible, classic, bad reframing from the left. Obviously there have been scandals in institutions that you could consider right-wing, whether you would consider the Catholic Church right-wing anymore, given the Pope. I don't necessarily know. They tend to come more from the types of negative expectations you can find in any big corporation, big organization that has a group of leaders at the top, left or right wing. A lot of the scandals are just endemic to those structures, sadly.
I think the most recent example is that CNN producer who was convicted of trying to solicit sex with a 9-year-old girl. So yeah, if you want examples, I'm pretty sure he's not a right winger, is he?
No, but I don't remember the right wing advocating drag queen story hour.
No.
And the best that they've got for this is some very nebulously talking about, oh, well, in some states, in certain Republican-run states, they've passed laws about child marriage. I've never really looked into those, but I imagine it's probably more like people around the same age who are teenagers can get married to each other.
It's not like a man in his 70s just like, yes, I'm going to marry a child. I don't think that's a particularly conservative idea, is it?
But if he put on a dress and said the same thing, the left wing would be cheering him on, you know, fighting for his rights. We need to get laws passed for this. How can we destroy our culture to accommodate this, etc., etc. But it carries on. They say liberals on the left support paedophilia, sexual abuse, and the grooming of kids. And yet more often than not, is right-wing Christians like Josh Duggar or any number of youth pastors, church choir directors, or other committed conservatives like GOP operatives who are engaged in all manner of twisted sexual activity. Yeah, and I'm not, if that's all true, I wouldn't make an excuse for it. Like sending sexual texts to a known paedophile dozens of times as a long-standing law, North Dakota's lawmaker did. Wait, sending sexual texts to the lone known paedophile, that doesn't sound like you're engaging in paedophilia. That sounds like you're attracted.
You're engaging a paedophile.
Yeah,
he's distracting a paedophile, technically.
Yeah, he was taking a bullet, bro. That's what he was saying.
I'm not,
not going to
defend this guy.
Yeah, I don't know who this person is, but the way that it's framed seems very unusual. Or even straight up endorsing paedophilia, as Milo Yiannopoulos did. And once again, I'm not going to defend what Milo said. It was obviously stupid, but it was also obviously cope. From the fact that he was molested as a teenager. So, you know, that's one thing. He certainly was not endorsing it. Or abusing four boys and trying to pay one to keep him quiet, like former GOP Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert, did. So all of these just throw out a bunch of random examples, completely ignore the left's actual cultural unified push to endorse this kind of behavior as being normal. Once again, any of these people, if they did do anything wrong and then just said, I'm a map, or said anything like that, or threw out some left-wing talking points, they'd be fine. Mm-hmm. They'd be absolutely fine.
I mean, the point they're making pretty much here is that some right-wingers are hypocrites.
I don't think the right-wing as a whole is arguing against this.
No.
We like to call those people out. But then it says, even before Trump, they insisted they were the victims of, because they love to point out, oh, right-wingers are actually the snowflakes. And just scroll down so we can see the big list for me, please, John. Yeah, don't forget victimhood. Keep going. Oh, look at all these things that they're saying they're victims of, which, yeah, we might be. That's the whole point of the culture war. But this is the classic example of the leftist cries out in pain as he stabs you.
Mm.
You know, oh, this is so...
Many such cases.
Yeah, many, many such cases. And then there's this next article, The First Myth of Patriarchy, The Acorn on the Pillow. And this one's just quite interesting, actually, because he's pointing out that the whole point of the patriarchy is supposed to suggest that it's always good for men. And he's suggesting that it's not always good for men. But the way that he's doing it is to say that men are reaching these, getting these certain cultural expectations that are going to be really difficult for their mental health, yada, yada, yada. Basically making excuses, because I understand the sentiment of this. But the way it's framed is in men should be allowed to make more excuses to achieve and succeed and strive less.
Mm-hmm.
Basically the way it comes across. But there's some interesting anecdotes in here where he talks about at a summer music festival, he's talking about some of the expectations that are embedded in the patriarchy that aren't necessarily fair to men. At a summer music festival, I find myself talking to a young woman of colour for whom feminism matters deeply. She tells me she noticed this hard edge she had where she would look at men who were clearly interested in her and think, if he doesn't have the balls to approach me, then he's too weak for me.
That's a very feminist
view. No. That's an incredible admission from a feminist to say, oh, what we're actually looking for is traditional gross masculinity. That's what we're attracted to. I can try and convince myself all I want, but I really want to just be swept up by a real man, is what this is saying right here. So they even admit it. And there's another anecdote. Another friend of mine, a man, dates a woman, another feminist. When he goes to share his feelings with her, she accuses him of being a woman for being so sensitive. On one hand, he's getting academic and political messages about not essentializing gender or participating in a heteronormative discourse. He's getting messages from the queer community about letting people be who they are and identify how they identify. And here's this woman accusing him of being a woman in a shaming and condescending tone. This isn't simple. So it seems to me the inherent contradiction is a bunch of activists and people who hate me are telling me that I should behave in this way that doesn't feel natural for me. And then this woman who I actually, you know, have a physical relationship with is telling me to behave one way because it makes her more attracted to me. Who would you rather listen to? The childless academics or the woman you're in a relationship with?
Oh, it's such a difficult decision.
I know. I think we could figure this out if we put our heads together. But no, let's just move on. And then there was this one, this next article that was brilliant. It was the one that was recommended in Trending Post. Apparently it went viral a few years ago, or at least a little note at the bottom of the article says it went viral. To the other dad on the playground the day my son wore a pink dress. Okay.
Stunning and brave.
Stunning and brave. This is what good men do. Good men let their kids, let their little boys run around in pink dresses.
And I'm sure he'll never get bullied for that.
So this is like an open letter written to this person, this other dude at the playground on Saturday, as it's initially addressed to.
Is this some sort of gay cruising article to the other dad?
Like it. Hey, bro, hit me up sometime. You seem like the sort of guy who would read the Bath Mel Project as well. I couldn't fight the need to write you about an incident between our kids. Remember me? I was the dad with the son wearing a pink dress. Remembering those 10 minutes fills me with emotion because this is when the kid goes out into the playground and starts trying to interact with other kids because his unencumbered joy thrilled me. He radiated happiness. He beamed like a sun, like a firework, like every cliched metaphor for joy. Except it wasn't a metaphor. It was glorious. How I wish he could hold on to that pure excitement. How I wish I could watch him be that thrilled every day of his life. Your daughter and her friend were obviously older and uninterested in welcoming a new playmate, especially one so desperate, nay, aggressive in his playtime individual. So you're raising a soy boy, is what I'm getting around. You're raising a little beta male when you should be raising him to be strong, and he's desperate for attention from women by running up to them in the playground and screaming, "Play with me, I'm in a dress, play with me." Okay, this is, I mean, kids can be kids, but there's like better ways to do this, come on. But my son continued, "Do you see my beautiful dress? It's a Sleeping Beauty dress." Then my reticence was confirmed when your daughter walked by me saying to her friend, "I don't want to play with a boy in a dress." This feels like a really bad Roald Dahl story. "I admit I wanted to trip her." So man's kid gets bullied by little girl and then man threatens to beat little girl.
Well, he didn't actually threaten her. He just wanted to trip her.
He just wanted to abuse the child.
It's all the difference.
It's very different.
Yes, Your Honor, that's the line.
Okay. All right, fair play. But when your daughter said to you, "Daddy, that boy is wearing a dress," your response was a pure gold moment for me. "Well, you're wearing pants, aren't you? Ha! Get dunked on, kid." How's that for facts and logic, huh? "I was touched and surprised by your compassion. Thank you for showing my son support for his choices." I'm pretty sure this other dad just didn't want to make a big deal of it. You're attributing a lot of intention to this guy and a lot of like positive emotion when he was probably just like...
Oh, poking fun at his daughter.
Yeah, he's like, "Well, you're wearing pants, are you? Now let's get away from the weird kid in the dress." You know, that might have been what was going on. So it's so weird. So honestly, like I say, the aims of this website are... honestly kind of commendable to a certain extent, and I appreciate the effort, especially in platforming some people who are going to write more based articles, like the grow a set of balls article we got earlier on, once again written by a woman, shockingly enough. But the intersectionality throughout all of this and the beta male masculinity that's being promoted is just the wrong message for young men. And one person that we've had on the website before who we've spoken about, Will Nolan, going under Nolan Knows, I follow him on Twitter. Now, he's a lot more religious than I am, and he's a lot more hardline in some of his approaches, but he does generally give really good advice on how young men can be masculine in a way that's going to make them feel better, and most importantly, attract women and make themselves useful for whatever community they end up in. And he's just saying that, he's just talking about patriarchy isn't about male domination of women, it's women's choices that create the patriarchy because it benefits them in the first place. And then he goes this massive long thread about how, you know, real masculinity is about being a protector, having a lot of these very positive masculine virtues. It's not about being a dick.
One of my favorite things to trot out about patriarchy is supposedly in the height of the patriarchy, like times like World War One and Two, where the women got to stay at home and the men got to fight in a brutal war. I mean, this is male privilege in action.
We are
taking bullets, yeah.
We are much more expendable.
It's almost like it's more complicated than feminists make it out to be.
Yeah, so you can check out Nolan Knows. He's got, honestly, a very good Twitter account. Like I say, some of his stuff's a bit hardline. It might put some people off, but he does genuinely give some very good advice on how to be more masculine, how to be a good man, so to speak. Much better advice than the Good Man Project. And on that, we'll leave you there.
We hope you enjoyed that segment from the podcast The Lotus Eaters. Myself and the rest of the team wish you a very Merry Christmas. Maybe this year, a good gift might be a £5 subscription to our website, where you can access all of the premium content we so frequently put up, including Bo's series Epochs, where in this episode, he and Carl discuss the life of Clive of India. And if you'd like to follow the rest of what Carl puts out, you can follow him on Getter at Carl Benjamin on Getter. Merry Christmas and goodbye.